Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Job Dubas there, Malsy.
Job Dubas.
Yep.
Like Bible Job?
Yeah, the patience. Right? Wasn't he big on patience, Job?
Oh, yeah. Big patience.
Isn't that
guy.
What he's all about?
The patience of Job, yeah.
What was he so patient about? What had Job biding his time?
I think
waiting
big,
things out.
I think Big Job kind of got jobbed, if you will.
Dottie, do you know
Lord what
happened to Job?
The Lord sent many trials and tribulations to Job, and he just kept persevering. He kept chipping away, you might say.
He kept trucking?
Yeah. I think if you were going to summarize Job in one sentence, it really would be Job, through all he went through, just kept on trucking.
Did the whale eat Job?
Jonah, yeah.
Why didn't that guy get props for his patience? Got swallowed by a whale.
Right, and then he got out how?
I know.
How do we know? He just got vomited out of that whale? Like, did he cut his way out?
Yeah. That's then what Kyle Dubas is morphed
then
into.
Then there's Jonas in that Weezer song.
Did he sing about patience?
No, he sang about a whale, but it was Jonas, not Jonah.
So that's what Kyle Dubas has evolved into now. He's talking about patience and biding time in those things. By the way, the, internal term that's being thrown around for what the Penguins are doing, it's not rebuild, it's retool, is what they're calling it. This is a retool.
Corporate buzzwords, run amok.
Chris, I had an epiphany after the show ended yesterday.
Never a good time to have an epiphany, is it? I always feel bad when the best thoughts come into my brain at 6:05.
The Penguins have turned into the Pirates.
Well, you can just take this segment, because I was going to say that same thing.
Were you really?
Well, specifically hearing him talk about Kevin Hayes there made me feel like that's the way you've heard both Huntington and Charrington when they try to make like a value, a low-risk, potential middling reward guy. Like a Rowdy Tellez this offseason, right? When it could have been somebody else.
Or a Michael A. Taylor.
Sure, that's how you hear them talk about players that they think they can get more out of, but they are tacitly admitting are low-cost for a reason.
Tell me that this description of the Penguins by Josh Yowie does not fit the other team that's about to play a few hours from now at PNC Park. On the Penguins, Yowie, this team isn't close to being a contender. The Penguins won't be terrible, but they probably won't be a playoff team. So they're not good. They're not bad. They're in between.
They're just there.
I mean, honestly, all of our teams are in the same boat.
The Steelers,
all of our teams are a Spider-Man meme pointing at each other, where everyone who covers the three respective sports says of each of our teams, yeah, this team doesn't suck, but they all have major warts or weaknesses that keep people from bundling them in or putting them among teams that actually have a chance of winning a championship. The only team, honestly, the team that has the closest, shot at that, if you trust what people outside of Pittsburgh say, is the Pirates, just because they're pitching in a short series. But we obviously know that they're not all in. They've got one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. Just like the Penguins, all they did was sign guys to one-year deals. Every single one of our teams is trying this floating balloons, trial balloons out there, or throwing horse manure at a wall and seeing what sticks, and all trying really the same strategy, which is let's do low-risk, high-reward. Steelers quarterbacks, low-risk, high-reward. Penguins free agent moves, low-risk, high-reward.
Oh, no, there's not. Where's the high-reward there? The Steelers at least got a guy in Fields who was picked high.
Anthony Beauvillier, can he go back to what he was with the Islanders?
Which was an 18-goal score. Is that a high reward?
Blake Lizotte, he was in his mid-20s and has been playing for the Kings for a long time.
Cool.
Low. Kevin Hayes, what he did with the Rangers and Flyers. Low risk, high reward.
I would say the high reward potential there is almost nil. The Steelers are clearly ahead of these two teams for one reason. They play in a single elimination playoff format.
And it is
something in a sport where the injuries always have a ton to do with who goes furthest.
So they need Patrick Mahomes to get Tanya Harding in a game or something like that. The equivalent of getting a lead pipe to the knee by
Tom
an
Brady
NFL defensive lineman.
Tom Brady in 2008.
They need Bernard Pollard to pop up.
Do and you then just they need say, okay, did Joe Burrow's injury not affect dramatically the AFC no, North last year?
Yes, but I think in this case we would need how many star quarterbacks to get hurt? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, Justin Herbert. Yes,
we missing any?
Aaron Rodgers. We need like seven guys to get out to get injured.
But at least in a one game scenario, you can trick yourself into thinking maybe my team has a shot. Like, you could go back revisionist history and say, well, if the Steelers don't play the worst first quarter ever against the Bills, man, who knows what happens, or if they get a stop here or there. The Penguins are a team that's trying to build themselves like to be sort of half-assed, maybe good, maybe we're going to be okay, maybe we're going to be retooling in a sport where you saw it proven. It can be random in the playoffs, but the playoffs are a two-month slog. And you usually, more often than not, have to have a really good team or a goalie go just so out of his mind it almost defies belief. They're not close to the first part of that, and they definitely don't have the goalie right now on their roster that's proven he can do the second part.
It looked like Nedeljkovic might have done that late last year. He almost got them to the playoffs, but ultimately came up short. And really, last year was the exception to the rule where none of these teams came out of nowhere and went on a run. It was two of the best teams in hockey that ended up playing in the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, so that was the epiphany. Just the Penguins are doing things that the Pirates have done. Let's not do anything nutty. Let's not do anything big and bold. Let's just take little shots on guys and see if any of them work. Another line from Yoey. I don't know if this was meant to be funny or if he really meant to say this. If he did, either way, it's sad. Quote, I don't recall seeing a roster that showcased more quality fourth line centers than the Penguins' current lineup.
Definitely trying to make a joke. That's 100% a joke. That's what they have. They have a
plethora of guys that, hey, if you need someone to come out and take a defensive zone playoff, defensive zone faceoff with 3 minutes left, we're flush with that. The problem is we're probably down three goals in that situation.
Was anyone out here?
Man, we've got fourth line centers out the ass.
Was anyone out here expecting differently here, I guess? Were you? You said you had an epiphany, which suggests it was like something that hit you all at once that hadn't hit you before. I mean, it felt like it was trending this way in general.
Hold on a second, though. There were legitimately some Penguins fans who, since the season ended in April, which is a long-ass time ago, who thought that they might move money around enough to entice Jake Guentzel to come back.
Which was going to get them where?
Well,
were they when they traded Jake Guentzel in the standings?
They were a team that wasn't good enough to make the playoffs, exactly.
So that's a mass delusion here. Getting Jake Guentzel back was going to make you what exactly?
Well, I'll give you another
one. They were better after they traded him.
I know, but I'll give you another one. How about you rid yourself of Tristan Jarry so at least you have the unknown in net? You have a chance where you have an opportunity for Blomqvist. He could be your answer. If not, you're not stuck with a guy who you don't believe in, who's under contract for another 4 years. Starkey said it on the Showdown last week. He thought for sure that they were going to be able to find a taker for him. There were absolutely not only fans, but media who thought. Elliot Friedman pointed out that Jarry was in trade talks. What I heard was they offered him up to every team just about that needed a goalie, and no one wanted to take on 4 years. It's interesting sometimes how some fans like to make fun of other fans for not knowing enough. And what I mean by that is they'll say, well, I'll trust the Penguins on this, or I'll trust the Steelers, or I'll trust the Pirates. They know more than you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people that don't hate Tristan Jarry said 5 years is a long time.
Correct.
For a guy with that kind of resume. And those fans were right. And now the Penguins agree, and definitely the entire league agrees.
Yeah, the problem is the Penguins were the only team that didn't agree with that at first. And now when you're trying to move them, you're trying to move them to a bunch of teams that you find out knew about that a long time ago.
If it were up for a fan vote, there's no way he would have gotten that contract.
Correct. No, they
literally, we could have done a better job with the Penguins goalie situation than Kyle Dubas.
Correct.
That's not hyperbole, or that's not talk show shtick. That is legitimate. And
unless we were put in the position Dubas may have been put in, where he decided, I like Tristan Jarry too, after virtually everybody else in the organization that has any sway told him they like Tristan Jarry.
So what? You're the GM. You're coming in with a big stick.
You would think.
The team had missed the playoffs. He was not Matt Murray or Marc-Andre Fleury, who had helped them win Stanley Cups. In fact, he's never won a series as a Penguins goaltender.
They don't even remind me, though. Like that's where the analogy sort of doesn't fall apart for me, that they're they've become kind of like the Pirates. Give me a dynastic franchise that fell on like legitimate hard times, like the Yankees, I guess, of the 80s, right? Where there was maybe, we're the Yankees, like we do this, that, and the other. And then for what, a period of about 15 years, they were kind of irrelevant in baseball. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say that's right.
Like, I think it's the Penguins. Well, hey, we're the Penguins. We like this guy. You might be Kyle Dubas, but you come in here and fall in line. Like, that's more what it feels like the ashes of the empire here. Trying to tell Kyle Dubas, we still do things a certain way here. Well, you don't get the results that dictate that you should do those things.
So who is Sidney Crosby? He's Nero watching Rome burn while playing the violin right now? I mean, that's the situation?
It is interesting that he didn't sign an extension instantly when he could.
I don't connect those dots yet. I'm not freaking out or panicking
about
that.
I'm not freaking
out
or panicking.
Too many people are telling me it's just a matter of time and it's
okay.
A fait accompli.
Okay, but people thought it was a fait accompli that he'd sign one like practically the first second he was allowed to.
Right.
And
maybe he's on vacation and they're waiting for him to come back and sign it, like when Arthur Smith was in Turks and Caicos when the Steelers wanted to announce him as offensive coordinator.
Crosby's probably in Cole Harbor reading Civil War books or something.
Another thing from Yoey and his story today on it was, is Crosby displeased with the team's direction? And his answer to his own rhetorical question was maybe. Maybe.
Isn't the answer there supposed to be yes or no? Or is maybe hinting enough towards yes that we're supposed to read into it?
I think he's saying it's possible because what Kyle Dubas is doing shows a lack of faith in this team's ability to win.
Well, that's one where, by the way, I would then technically support Dubas because he's at least looking at that part of it through clear eyes.
You know what? I'll actually bring it back to the Pirates one more time with the Penguins. You know what this is for them? It's a bridge year.
2016?
It's a bridge year. It has all the makings of a bridge year. We still have a nucleus that Dubas is trying to say we can contend with, but just not right now. And we need to reset a little bit before we can contend again.
When has a bridge year worked for a team? Like a true bridge year. Like literally,
Chris,
we are going to do this one time.
When is a team made up of stars largely in their late 30s won anything? Never. These are all things that they're trying to be the first at.
And you try to surmount history like that when you think you are borderline infallible.
I mean, Donnie, am I saying anything that you want to push back on here? Do you see similarities between our three teams and their approach to the way they're doing things?
No, I actually brought it up last night, like how all three teams seem to be in the same spot. Now, maybe they're coming in different directions. Like, maybe you see the arrow pointed a little bit up for the Pirates because of the pitchers that they have, the young pitchers that they have. Specifically, you kind of see the Steelers have been
their arrow is pointed up, I think, the Steelers more than the Pirates because they have new blood who has had two great drafts and is clearly trying to reshape.
But we don't know if they have
image.
An answer at the most important position of the whole sport.
Yes, obviously, that's a huge problem.
And they've been,
but still,
they've been mostly at that same spot for a handful of years now. The Penguins, the arrow's absolutely down. They're coming from the top, and they might be going down faster, much faster than the other two teams are going up.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our major focus is on trying to recoup, you know, future assets, draft picks, prospects, younger players. We had a number of conversations with teams that started at the trade deadline. We elected to just hold. And then as this came along and thinking, you know, we gave up a third to get him. This was the offer that was there. It was for the second. And then the fifth was essentially the toll for the retention. You know, you get into the trade deadline and you look at it, and if you're going to move him, then you're just going to get the pick. And the retention is expected unless you're a third party broker. That was the decision there to move it across the line. We have the space to get the two assets back after giving up the third. It was just an asset management thing.
Kyle Dubas.
Third parties, asset management.
Yep. We're not
good stuff.
We're not talking about Lord Stanley's chalice anymore. We're talking about the goal being prospects and future assets and things like that. How the mighty have fallen, Malzi.
They're another team. I tried to say it a bunch yesterday. I think you came up with a more catchy way to do it. But there's more excitement. You said that they feel like the Pirates right now. There's more excitement about the Pirates because they have schemes. They have guys on the come up. I mean, we're watching the state. Right now, the Penguins have morphed that core group from, I can't believe we get to watch these guys do their thing and be so good, to, I think it's turned into a nostalgia act along the way. And the headliner still is Crosby, and he still
Donnie,
looks
do you
like
agree
one of the
with
best,
that? They're
it's a nostalgia act right
it's
now.
It's like, here comes the Steve Miller Band back to Pittsburgh. Here comes Grand Funk Railroad.
Frankly,
they're
going
to play all
the
hits.
The Rolling Stones.
And they sell tickets for a while, but if it goes bad, it won't be selling so well. The nice thing about those bands coming back, it's normally just a one-time only every couple of years, not 82 games over the course of a season.
This hasn't been like a revival where they were dormant for a long time like Creed, and then everyone, they came roaring back into the public consciousness.
But to use the Rolling Stones thing, Sid is Mick Jagger. He's still dancing around and looks spry and looks like he's still...
Who's Keith Richards? Malkin?
Probably. Is he still alive?
Yes!
Unbelievable.
That's going to be the one where you try to kill him off five times on this show and he still keeps going.
Breaking news, the Penguins have signed Sebastian Aho, but don't get excited. It's the bad one. Yes, there are two Sebastian Ahos. They signed the Islanders defenseman Sebastian Aho, who's pretty much a Swedish Chad Ruedel, is what they did. That's what they just did here. These are the types of moves. Yoey got everybody. This is just the state of the Penguins. And I'm doing a good job. I'm not allowing for myself to get excited about it. Okay? I'm not. He put out a tweet this morning about them pursuing Vladimir Tarasenko.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have thought that his tweet was, the Penguins are in talks with the Oilers to trade for Leon Draisaitl. I mean, fans are just dying for like
anything resembling
one
a name.
Little bit of notoriety. Here's a guy that we've seen win Stanley Cups and score a bunch of goals. He might come play for us.
Mm-hmm.
Please let this be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then came a flurry of news after that Tarasenko's already bought a house down in South Florida. And his first priority is to re-sign with the Panthers unless some team
knocks him over
and
which the Penguins won't do. Because they're looking for
they don't have the cap space to do
and
that.
And they're
they
looking
just signed
for those,
Sebastian Aho, the bad one.
Small contracts.
Well, I think this would be a 1 year deal. That's what he signed last year. And the Penguins fans, the ones that are very, very
what's sanguine mean, Donnie? Sanguine, sanguine.
I'll have to add that to my trivia for Harry Callis tomorrow.
The Pollyanna Penguins fans,
believe the word means,
are trying to think, well, you put him with Malkin, you get the Russian connection, it'll bring out the best in each other.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Skinner's gone. He signed 1 year, $3 million with Edmonton.
A team that's a more desirable place.
You
to
pointed
play.
That out yesterday.
It's true, but that's part and parcel with what you said to start the show. They're not the Penguins anymore.
I'm getting tweets like, how about Daniel Sprong?
How about,
can we get Daniel Sprong back in
can
here?
Can we, while we're at it, can we call Sergei Plotnikov? I think he's with CSKA Moscow. Can we get him back here? See if that'll work the second time around.
Did you guys, do you happen to see, do you follow Jersey Jerry?
Yes.
Do you follow Jersey Jerry, Donnie? Did you see what he tweeted out before today's show? He moved to Chicago because he's working for Barstool and they're based out of Chicago now.
Okay.
So he's not in New Jersey anymore. And I think his mom was a single mom or I don't know what the whole history there, but she's single now. And he tweeted out, hey, my mom's in town for the week. Would anybody like to take her out on a date?
What?
Yeah.
Did he provide like a picture of his mother?
No, just she's
anyone
here.
Want to take my mom on a date?
Yeah.
How do you think Jersey Jerry's mom feels about that?
I don't think he does it without her permission. I mean, didn't you and Alex connect on Twitter? I mean, you can't knock it here. It was a successful strategy
for
you.
That's yeah, how but you I didn't just go wife. On like a blind date after like one day. There was a decent amount of chatter before a meeting and then dating and then everything else. But like he's just saying basically, do you want to go on a blind date with my mom?
Mm-hmm.
Like I knew what Alex looked like when I was talking to her.
Well, that's awfully shallow of you that you needed to know what she looked like in order for you to go on the date with her.
So wait a minute. You would go sight unseen on a date if you were single with Jersey Jerry's mom?
If we had common interests, why not?
Common interests?
Yeah. It's a date. It's not marriage.
She lives in New Jersey. Great mom is all he said. Trying to entice people.
I mean, Donnie, do you think if your parents broke up, you'd try to like wingman it for John Football or your mom? Could you see yourself doing that?
I really don't know.
The first response is,
I mean,
I'll take her on a nice seafood dinner, then never call her again.
That's an anchorman.
Yeah. What do her feet look like is one of the replies here.
Is that from Rex Ryan?
No, surprisingly. From the real Tebow 3. I'd do it. She's low-key. She's a low-key smoke. Hello, Jerry. I would love to be your new daddy.
Could you imagine if he was in town and Callis went on a date with her? Well, hello. I have a bus.
It's eating. It's eating hot dog. Yes. And I'm large and I'm in charge.
By the way, the finishing touches are being put on that. Our Bowser Theater here is ready to go for tomorrow. What's so funny? You read something about this?
So somebody just did that, like, the thing where you can change just the facial features and clearly did a female Jersey Jerry on, like, a brunette and said, this is Jersey Jerry's mom. And it's just very obviously his face.
Does she have a beard?
No, they edited out the beard.
Well, when we did the sex change app on me, people thought I was hot.
That was around for, like, 2 days, that thing, whatever it was.
Folks were turned on by the female version of Pony.
Yeah, whatever that was, it did make you a pretty attractive woman.
Did we ever do that with you?
No, I don't think I was like in
Craig,
the fold
I think yet. Craig was still there. I think they just turned Craig into Calista Flockhart from Ally McBeal.
It would be pretty funny to see a few of us back here. Me, Harry Callis. I mean, you just go down the line.
Oh, man. Hockey Talk at 2:34 is brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Breaking news, Steve Mears, longtime Penguins TV voice, last year radio voice. And when you go from TV to radio in the broadcasting business, it is less dough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so
he's going back to TV.
He's
baby.
Going back to TV. He is leaving the Penguins for the Blue Jackets. Their TV guy retired, the person they've had doing their TV game since the franchise was formed.
Is it Reimer or Rimmer?
Rimmer, I think.
R-I-M-E-R.
And so Mears, who I think he's a Monroeville guy. I want to say
Franklin
he grew
Regional,
up here.
I think.
Franklin Regional?
I believe so, yeah. Donnie nodding vigorously. Franklin Regional,
so
yeah. Local guy.
I've got a few things to say about this. The first one is, the rumor I'm hearing is that they're just going to simulcast the TV call on radio.
Now, if you're,
I think that's whack, man. I think
I don't
that
like
blows.
That at all.
I think that if that's true, then shame on the Penguins for doing that.
I would agree.
When I was in Buffalo, they did that with Rick Jeanneret, and the issue there was they did not have the Sabres did not have a regional TV station. They just had their game simulcast on MSG,
mm-hmm.
and so they were in a very unique situation. And also, Jeanneret was, Joe has told you this, was pretty much the Sabres version of Mike Lang. So
no, he had iconic calls. People
right.
loved him.
So everybody wanted to hear his calls, whether they were on TV or radio. It's like with the Dodgers, some of Scully's innings would be on TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a Hall of Fame voice like that, I get it. You know, if Mike Lang were still doing games and they were going to simulcast him, for as much as I still detest that as someone that still has like some play-by-play roots, I would understand it better. I think Josh Getzlaf is great. I think he's an up-and-comer. I think he's going to be, for the next 30 years, an excellent hockey play-by-play guy. It's just, it's a totally different way of calling games. Not to get people into the weeds on this, you don't, we'll have Greg Brown on later. You don't call a game on radio the way you call it on TV. You have to be way more descriptive on radio because they can't see it. So what does Josh now? Does Josh call the game on TV like it's on radio and we're seeing things and he's got to talk about every single detail of what's going on now?
But then you're short, sir, you're underselling your radio audience.
No, you're in that case, you're underselling your TV audience if he's going to be too descriptive.
No. If you go the opposite way and go with a TV style call for radio.
Yeah.
Then the radio audience goes, wait, what the hell?
What the heck's going on right now?
I don't even know who has the puck.
Yep.
Because on TV, you can assume at times that the viewer just doesn't need to know that the puck gets turned over. They can see that it happened, right?
So I hope I'm wrong about this and have gotten bad information. If it's a simulcast, then that sucks, man.
Well, I just don't like it because if what you're hearing is true, it's from a very basic standpoint. Forget about the mechanics of calling versus TV versus radio. It's consolidating a whole set of jobs.
Yep.
There's two people who could maybe get a job who won't get one now. And do you think Getzoff is going to get more bread to do it both ways? That way to have simulcast,
maybe he gets a little bit of a
probably
bump, but it's
a lot
not the
less
same as you would
than paying another person to do it and another color analyst.
Donnie, you agree with me on this? I think that would be complete crap if they just simulcast the game.
100%. Yeah, I mean, and we've seen more teams do that. I know you were having a conversation with Susie Cool before we started because she worked in minor league baseball. I've worked in minor league baseball. You've worked in minor league baseball. Sometimes you see it there, but it's like a video stream that is also linked to maybe a local radio station. I don't think it's quite the same in this case. Like, these are two full-blown productions that we're dealing with here. Like, that's A, asking a ton out of both broadcasters, not just one.
Yeah, the Penguins brag about how they have the biggest radio network in the NHL. I hope that means they're not going to tighten the belt here and short shrift those listeners. The other thing is, I honestly think they screwed up. This is just my opinion. I think he's a Pittsburgh guy. He loves the Penguins. It was a dream of his to work for the team. I would have moved Mears into the studio role. And I would have kept Potash as the traveling sideline reporter because Dan is such a great rapport
with the players
and the coaches. And I think Hunter's her last name. What's her
Haley
first?
Hunter.
Haley Hunter. I think she's really good. She does Golf Channel stuff. She kills it. She was at the Travelers tournament.
Well, she's a golfer by
by
sport.
She's a network level sideline reporter. She's got real chops for it. This is not in any way a criticism of her, but I thought there was a way of rearranging things where with this new broadcast, you kept the people that were passionate about the Penguins and really good at their jobs in place. I think Steve is better in studio than he is at TV play-by-play. That's just, again, my opinion.
Well, he's done.
He did NHL Network studio
he's
stuff.
He's done cable, what do you call it, national cable level stuff. What, he and EJ Raddick,
yes,
right?
Yes, I think that was the show, NHL Now or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they did an afternoon show, and I actually would agree. I thought he was best suited at that. I thought he was good at it. My thing is, you know, I want more jobs in our field, in media in general, not less. And anytime I hear about a simulcast, that just tells me they're looking to cut costs, do it on the cheap, and the viewer loses out, and people who could otherwise maybe get that job and make it their own lose out too, if what you're hearing is accurate.
It's got to suck for him because he moved back to Pittsburgh. He left NHL Network in New York to be the Penguins TV play-by-play guy, and then new ownership comes in, changes his role. It's not what he was accustomed to or used to, and he wanted to go.
I mean, to his credit, though, he's landed on his feet, I guess you'd say. I mean, so he's
absolutely.
He's working,
I bet
he's doing TV in the NHL.
Yeah, and I bet Steve will get. I heard him do. You want to talk about a bad situation? So he did the Predators. Did you hear the story about him doing the playoffs with Colby Armstrong, Mears, and Armstrong?
No, I think
they
I
did a game in Vancouver. Donnie, did you hear the story about these two guys? They do a game in Vancouver in the first round. It's Predators Canucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're in Atlanta doing the game.
On a screen.
They don't send them to Vancouver.
So they're on a screen doing the game.
Goaltending change gets made. They have no
earthly idea.
Information.
Because no one's telling them that. You don't see that necessarily.
They go the first 5 minutes of the game and they're still saying that the goaltender that was in before was making saves.
How do you not have like one other person whose sole job it is to relay that, to like be on top of that information?
Agreed. How does TNT not send Okay. A play-by-play and color guide to an NHL Stanley Cup playoff game.
I'll go submit again what I've said
that
multiple
times. That is brutal,
times.
Dude.
Cost-cutting.
You know what happened?
Viewer loses out, yes. and broadcast team looks worse for
the
it.
The answer here is simple. COVID changed all this.
Because they found out that they could kind of get away with it because people didn't notice. They were sent... Dude, Big Ten Network has done this for years on basketball broadcasts. I don't know if they still do, but right after COVID, you'd be watching... What are you smirking for?
I'm just remembering John Sterling for the Yankees was at home doing a game during COVID. And
the home run that
they
wasn't,
showed a replay, and he thought it was live.
No, I remember that one.
And all I'm saying about that is I think it's such crap. I root for the mistakes to get made, not because I want the broadcaster to look bad, but I want the networks to be like, wait a minute, we need to send these people to these games.
You are not a naive person. That is a really naive way to look at it. You think these networks care? You think they actually care that somebody screws that up? They probably go, wow, we went really viral because Sterling screwed it up.
According to...
I just don't think they care. If they cared, they wouldn't be doing it in the first place or trying to get away with it. Big Ten Network was sent, you know, your Northwestern Penn State men's basketball game. It was two guys at Big Ten Network Studios doing the game off of a big monitor. That's it.
Donnie, have you ever had to do a game off a monitor?
No, thank God. I think it would be, it's a lot, it's got to be a lot more difficult than we're even talking about on the surface. Because, like, think of all the little intricate things that can happen during a game. Like, a goaltending change is one thing. Like, think of all the intricate things that can happen during a game that you're not even thinking about.
Did they ever try it with football?
Until you're in that moment.
Have they tried it with football games? Because you have to have the spotter and there's so many numbers at play.
Oh, yeah. Like, post-COVID, there have been some college football games, but there have been some that have been done remotely.
Imagine doing a game off of a screen when, like, maybe it's like an Oregon game and they got some goofy-ass jersey where you can't even tell what the numbers are.
In the ACC tournament a few years ago, post-COVID, Hillgrove and... Curtis had to do the Pitt-Miami ACC tournament game out of the same theater we're going to do the hot dog eating contest in tomorrow.
It appears that they are moving tables there as we speak outside of our window here.
And they were in, I was watching them do the broadcast. There was a breakage, there was a stoppage in play, and Bill's like, we don't really know what's going on. And I had to tap Bill on the shoulder and be like, I think they're talking about a shot clock violation because the clock was at 1 or 0.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's something where if you're in the arena, you hear the scorekeepers and the refs and the coaches having that conversation. You don't know that when you're sitting here and everyone else is in Greensboro.
Yeah, that's like one of the things where like you don't even think about it like as we're sitting here now, but in the midst of a game, those are the types of things like it makes the broadcast suffer as a whole because like, oh, it sounds bad because the guy is saying he has no clue what's happening. Yeah, because he's in some random studio. He's not in the arena.
And I just, maybe I'm the total cynic here. I just don't think your average decision maker at the top level cares about that. They say the game got on the air.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.